sickly shade of green. Her father had so often said that people could be associated with colours, and she thought that these were typical of her Aunt Sophie. She gave a little sigh as she thought of how unhappy she had been since she had come to live in the Bishop's Palace at Linchester. It was large, oppressive, cold, and in Pandora's eyes, excessively ugly. That was the word, she decided, that described her life ever since she had arrived there. She had been so happy in the small vicarage at Chart, with its rose-filled gardens and the stables which held her father's horses, the horses which her mother had often said with a laugh were the most important members of the family. Her father had never really wished to be a parson, but then, being the third son in a family dedicated to the church, he had really had little choice. However, he had been clever enough to obtain a living where there was little to do, and he could ride and hunt to his heart's content. The hunting parson, they called him, but more often than not, they forgot that he preached on Sunday, and instead thought of him just as an attractive, jovial man, who was the friend of everyone in the hunting field and everywhere else. What fun it had been just being in his company, Pandora thought, and forced back the tears that immediately misted her eyes. She had cried so desperately and uncontrollably when she had first learnt of the accident that had killed her father and mother that she thought afterwards she had no tears left. And yet, after more than a year of living with her uncle, the Bishop of Linchester, she found it increasingly difficult not to cry, because everything seemed so bleak and she was so desperately alone. Even now, she could not bear to think of the accident which had taken her father and mother from her. Because her father could not afford well-trained horses, he usually broke them in himself. He was trying out a pair that was still rather wild when he and his wife were enjoying a day's hunting on the other side of the county. The day before they were to ride, Charles Stratton had sent the two horses to a stable belonging to a friend, so that they would be fresh when he and his wife arrived in the gig in which he always travelled. It was old, and as he admitted, somewhat rickety, but it carried him where he wished to go, and that was all that mattered. He left the gig and the horses which drew it in the stable which had housed the hunters, and they had a glorious day with a long run, which was what Charles Stratton enjoyed more than anything else. Both he and his wife were tired when, as dusk was falling, they set off home along the narrow lanes which led eventually to Chart. It had been a crisp, bright day, but now there was undoubtedly a sharp frost, and Charles Stratton said, somewhat ruefully, "It looks as if we shall not be able to hunt for the rest of the week." "It may turn to snow," his wife replied optimistically. "I doubt it," he said. "Are you warm enough, my darling?"
"Quite warm, thank you," she answered, nestling a little closer to him.
They reached the top of a long hill which led down to a river, and Charles Stratton realized that there was ice on the road and he would have to drive carefully. He reined in his horses and was proceeding more slowly when suddenly a stag leapt over a fence in front of them and rushed across the road only a yard or so ahead. It terrified the horses, who broke into a wild and uncontrollable gallop, and in a moment they were hurtling at breakneck pace towards the river. Pandora had been told exactly what happened. The old gig had smashed against the bridge, and her father and mother had been thrown down a steep embankment and into the river itself. Her father's neck had been broken, while her mother, knocked unconscious, had fallen face downwards into the water and drowned. Pandora often wished that she had been with them and that she too had died. When her uncle, the bishop, had, with obvious reluctance and a great deal of hypocritical magnanimity, taken her to live with him and his wife in the palace, she had thought it would be impossible ever to laugh again. Certainly there was nothing to laugh about in the company of her uncle and aunt. They were not physically cruel to her, but they obviously resented her presence, and everything she did was wrong in their eyes. It was impossible to please them, however hard she tried, and after a while, because she was intelligent, she realized that it was her looks that offended her aunt more than anything else. She was very like her mother, and her heart-shaped face and large pansy-colored eyes were such a contrast to her aunt's overblown figure and lined face that she could in fact understand why the older woman